Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 30, verse 24 to 28. Proverbs chapter 30, verses 24 to 28. Now, in this particular passage of Scripture, you're going to see some stuff, some small stuff, doing big things. And you'll marvel about that and take a little encouragement. But again, you'll find that as we found with verse 19, and as we found with verses 22 and 23, that these verses we're going to study today are prophetic. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 24. There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet go they forth, all of them, by bands. The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. Now, I've read those verses many times before. I'm sure you have too. And in looking at them, I've often thought, well, the ants, okay, they gather their food in the summertime, gather in the harvest. So when the winter comes, they've got something to eat. And that's an encouragement that you better make hay while the sun shines. The conies, and I've often thought about those and what they are, and they're a feeble folk, and they make their houses in the rocks, and so a wise man builds his house on the rocks and not on the sand. And the locusts have no king, yet go they all forth by bands, and we ought to be able to follow the Lord Jesus Christ without having a visible king over Christianity to follow. And the spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces, and we ought to be encouraged to be able to do improbable things or maintain humility when we finally rise to a position of being able to do something great for the Lord. Whatever the case may be, those are some spiritual connotations, and they have some application here. But you know something? These four items, these small things that do big things, these ants, these conies, these locusts, these spiders, they are prophetic. The Jews are a small nation, and yet they are going to come out of the tribulation not by might, not by strength, but by wisdom. You see, these are four things that are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. And so what we're to do is we are to take wisdom from these four things. And then the Jews are particularly to take wisdom from these four things, and that'll show them how to survive the tribulation. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6 says, "Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." And so when God's spirit is on your side, then you have great ability to accomplish something that can never be accomplished otherwise. One of the old preachers who was opposed by everybody, when he found out that everybody was his enemy, he said, "Well, then I'm the enemy of everybody." He said, "One man and God makes a majority. That is, even if the rest of the world is against you." Well, that's somebody that's small and yet becomes great because of his exceeding wisdom. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 16, we're often prone to think in life that somebody who has a lot of money, somebody who has a great personality, somebody who has a great physical strength in his body is going to be a very successful person. But the Bible shows us in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 16, that wisdom is better than strength. You see, ants and conies and locusts and spiders are not strong. They're weak. Yet they're very wise, so wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. So let's not despise the wisdom of Agur contained in the Holy Bible today. Let's look at this and see what the prophecies are and how a Jew can learn from the things that we're studying here and make application to them during the time when they desperately need wisdom over the strong armies of the Antichrist. Now, all of these examples, all of these items here, these ants, these conies, these locusts, these spiders, they're hindered in some way. The ants aren't strong, the conies are feeble, the locusts don't have a king over them, spiders are small. I mean, this text says, the spider taketh hold with her hands. Have you ever seen a spider's hands? I mean, you talk about small. They're microscopic. Yet, all of these things accomplish some great things. Ants. All right, in verse 25, ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. Bible critics years ago said, oh, this Bible can't be so, it can't be true, because ants don't prepare their meat in the summer. Until they started studying ants, and they found that they had all kinds of warehouses in their ant mounds for storing things that came out of the harvest that could be then used later during the winter time to keep them fed. Showing that, in fact, the Bible was true and that scientists had been wrong up until that time. Now, they prepare their meat in the summer in the same way that a man is supposed to gather his harvest. And there's a lot you can learn from ants. Earlier in the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 8, we saw this. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. In other words, if you were a lazy man and you were trying to figure out how to get past the problems that accompany your laziness, you'd go to the ant. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of sleep? So she does provide her meat in the summer and does gather her food in the harvest. The workers are females. They don't have a guide, they don't have an overseer, or they don't have a ruler to make them do that work. They do it because it's the right thing to do. Do you know what's going to happen during the tribulations? During the tribulation, Jews will have to lay up for the tribulation when they cannot take the mark of the beast. In other words, there's going to be a time when they can get something done to store up for themselves, to have something to eat. And as soon as they see the abomination of desolation stand in the holy place from Matthew chapter 24, they got to run to the places that they have prepared for themselves. Now, they're going to be feeding. They're going to feed in Bashan. They're going to feed in Carmel. They're going to feed in Selah. They're going to feed in Gilead. And when they do, they are going to have to gather something that God is going to leave there for them. Turn to Micah chapter 7. Micah chapter 7. All right, Micah chapter 7, look at verse 14. Feed thy people with thy rod, the flock of thine heritage which dwell solitarily in the wood, in the midst of Carmel, let them feed in Bashan and Gilead, as in the days of old. According to the days of thy coming out of the land of Egypt will I show unto him marvelous things. What, how did God feed them according to the days of thy coming out of the land of Egypt? He fed them with manna. So during the tribulation, the Jews are going to have manna coming down, and they're going to have to go out into the wilderness areas like Selah and Bashan, Carmel, and Gilead and gather that manna and then hide themselves so they can eat it and be protected. Revelation chapter 2, look at verse 17. Now the churches, or the angels of the churches to whom the Lord writes in Revelation chapter 2 and verse and chapter 3, are churches in the fact that they are local assemblies of believers, but they're not the church like we have now because the church is gone during the tribulation. And you know that because nothing that is promised to any of these churches is anything that needs to be promised to us. We already have all of these things given to us now. Revelation chapter 2, verse 17 is one of those cases. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat the hidden manna. You don't need any of that. You've got the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. But these guys actually have to find hidden manna because during the tribulation, they won't be able to buy and sell without the mark of the beast. And if they take the mark of the beast, they'll wind up in hell. To be a believer then, they'd have to work like an ant to go get the harvest. And we'll give him a white stone with a new name. Look in Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. The woman in Revelation chapter 12 is Israel. And in verse 6, the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. For 42 months, the Jews are going to be out there in the wilderness, and they're going to have to gather up some food every day, just like ants do. They're going to have to gather up food every day, just like ants do, in order to be able to survive. And God will leave that out there for them every morning, just like he did when they were out there in the wilderness. So the Jews have to gather up during the tribulation, so because they can't take the mark of the beast. God will feed them as long as they'll be like ants to go out there and get it. Now turn to Lamentations chapter 5 and look at verse 8. That's right between Jeremiah and Ezekiel. Lamentations chapter 5 and look at verse 8. And all right, in Lamentations chapter 5, verse 8, watch it. Our fathers have sinned, let's see, verse 8, servants have ruled over us. We studied about that recently. Yesterday in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 22, we found out about the servant when he reigneth. Tribulation reference. Servants have ruled over us. There is none that doth deliver us out of their hand. Watch it, verse 9. We get our bread with the peril of our lives because of the sword of the wilderness. So what's happened is the armies of the Antichrist then gather up around these areas, and when the Jews run out to gather up their food in order to bring it back into their place of hiding, there are people out there looking for them who will kill them with a sword if they can catch them. But a lot of this is going to be by stealth, and a lot of this, the Jews, like they had out there in the wilderness, are going to have a cloud to cover them. You'll read some references about that in the book of Psalms. And they go out and the cloud covers them like a fog so they can gather up the meat. And it's very hard for people that want to kill them to find them. See? Gathered with the peril of our lives. Now watch. Some of the Jews don't run like they're supposed to. They stay behind. And they're not supposed to stay behind. Watch what happens to them. Verse 10, our skin was black like an oven because of the terrible famine, starving to death. They ravished the women in Zion. See, in Zion, the women got ravished. And the maids in the cities of Judah, princes, were hanged up by their hand. The faces of elders were not honored. It was bad in the city, but the ones that run to the wilderness will be able to have something to eat, like ants, you see. So they're taking a lesson then, prophetically, from what's recorded here in Proverbs chapter 30, on how to survive during the tribulation. The first thing is they got to be like an ant, and every day they got to go out and gather so they'll have something to eat. All right, number two. Number two is found in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 26. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rocks. Well, this is interesting. A couple of things to be said about this. Conies, Skeptics Bible, says that the King James Bible is not right. It's got errors in it and all that because conies are like rabbits, and rabbits don't have hooves. And that's because conies aren't rabbits. If you look up the definition of coney in the dictionary, you have several definitions, but one of them is small, short-eared, burrowing mammal of rocky uplands. They said this Bible can't be right because a coney is a rabbit and rabbits don't live in rocky places. But that's because a coney is not a rabbit and a rabbit's not a coney. They're not even spelled the same way. A coney is a small, short-eared, burrowing mammal of rocky uplands of Asia and Western North America. Also, any of several small ungulate, that is, having hooves, mammals of Africa and Asia, with rodent-like incisors and feet with hoof-like toes. So, the Skeptic's Bible is just wrong, and the King James Bible is right. Now, conies are found in Psalm 104, verse 18, as rock dwellers. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 5, as unclean animals, and Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 7, as unclean animals. But here's the deal. They are feeble. In other words, they can't protect themselves well from a predator except by getting into rocky uplands and making their houses in the rocks. Now, if they get into the rocks and make a house, then a predator can't dig through the soil to catch them. They're protected by the rocks. All right then. This is going to be a great clue for what the Jews are going to do during the tribulation to protect themselves. They're going to make their houses in the rocks for protection, because they'll have to run to get away from the Antichrist, and they've got to be walled in. One of the places they're going to go is a place called Sela Petra. You can type that into your search engine, and you'll get pictures of Sela Petra. Petra meaning rock. You'll get pictures of Sela Petra. And what you'll see is you'll see it's all in a cliff area. Now, not high on a cliff without, without some way to get to it. You've got a very narrow passage, about one horse wide, where there people are able to get through on foot or on horseback up to the front of this thing, and then you see the side of the cliff looks like the front of a city, and you go inside of there, and there's probably room in there for about 100,000 people, maybe 150,000 people, to survive in that protection. And then what God will do is he'll simply bring in a cloud to hide the location so that it can't be negotiated, and that way the Jews will be protected in there. All right. Look in Psalm 27, verse 5. Psalm 27, verse 5. And you'll see one of many references in the Bible to the Jews hiding in the rocks. Psalm 27, verse 5. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 48 and look at verse 28. I'm not going to give you all of the references. I'm going to give you three references, and there are many, many more to the city Selah. Jeremiah chapter 48, verse 28. O ye that dwell in Moab, leave the cities, and dwell where? In the rock, and be like the dove that maketh her nest in the sides of the hole's mouth. Well, there you go then. By the conies being feeble yet hiding in the rocks, it is an indication to the Jews that when they run to the mountains to get away from the Antichrist, who has raised up his image in the temple, what they need to do is they need to run for the mountains and hide in the rocky areas, in the caves. And if that's the case, then it shows you how effectively somebody can hide up in mountainous rock caves and not be spotted. Isaiah chapter 16, verse 1, send ye the lamb to the ruler of the land from Selah, to the wilderness, unto the mount of the daughter of Zion. Well, the lamb happens to be Jesus Christ. And the three places mentioned here, Selah, the wilderness, and the mount of the daughter of Zion, simply are on the path of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. His path is discovered in the Bible, but he starts out at Mount Sinai on horseback, rides through the path that the Jews took to get up to Sela Petra, then follows the king's highway out in the wilderness around the Dead Sea, and over the other side of the Jordan River from Jerusalem, crosses that river, where many wonderful things happen in that very same spot. It winds up on the Mount of Olives, dismounts. The mount is divided by an earthquake, walks in the heretofore sealed eastern gate, sits on the throne, and he becomes the king of the kingdom of heaven. They have to hide in rocks. You know how they knew to do that? By the conies. The ants taught them to go out and gather their manna. The conies taught them they need to hide in the rocks. All right, now here's the next thing. Locusts. Locusts, verse 27. The locusts have no king, yet go they forth, all of them, by bands. Well, then, having no king, they go out by bands. Generally speaking, a man will go out by bands when he's ordered to do so by his general. But this group doesn't have anybody leading them. And they have no king, but yet they go forth, all of them by bands. All of the Jews that see what happens in Judea need to leave. The Jews have no king right now, and the Jews will have no king in the tribulation, because they are waiting on their king. Unlike when they crucified Jesus Christ. When they crucified Jesus Christ, according to John chapter 19, verse 15, Pilate had said, "Behold your king." They said, "We have no king but Jesus." Well, during the tribulation, they can't look to the king Antichrist like they looked to Caesar back then. They've got to move without being told to do it. For protection, the Jews should band together when they run out of Judea, as in Matthew chapter 24, when they're told to take their flight and run to the mountains. They have to go out by bands to protect themselves from the people, like the Edomites who are taking them captive and turning them over to the Antichrist. Look in Obadiah, one chapter. Obadiah. And in Obadiah, look at verse 14. And notice when the Jews are running from the Antichrist in Obadiah 14. They're nearly captured. And many times they are captured. The Bible says, Obadiah 14, neither shouldst thou have stood in the crossway. In other words, this is a prophecy against Edom. And the Lord saying to them, neither shouldst thou have stood in the crossway to cut off those of his that did escape. Neither shouldst thou have delivered up those of his that did remain in the day of distress. What they're doing is they're waiting on these Jews that are leaving, and then they catch them in the crossway and deliver them up to the Antichrist, who kills them. And so he says, you need to go out by bands. It's for your protection. I remember one time stalking a doe with a bow that I was going to shoot, and I finally got in a position where I could shoot her. And as soon as I got ready to draw back, there were two other does I never did see that spotted me. Well, when you go out by bands, there are many more eyes, and there's a little bit better way to protect yourself. Now, these locusts in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 27, are not like the strange locusts that come out of the bottomless pit in Revelation chapter 9. Notice the mutated locusts that come out of the pit, the bottomless pit in Revelation chapter 9, have breastplates of iron, teeth of lions, hair of women, faces of men, crowns like gold. The shapes are like horses. I mean, these guys are mutated, freaky things. But notice, those locusts that come out of the bottomless pit do have a king over them in Revelation 9:11, contrary to nature. They had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit. And that guy's name is Abaddon or Apollyon. So the Jews are just going to have to instinctively know, according to the words of God, to split. They go out by bands, and they don't have to wait for somebody else who is a ruler to tell them to do it. If they do, they're going to end up in the city, and like in Lamentations, they're going to be treated extremely poorly. The women are going to be ravished, and the men are going to be killed. All right, then the fourth thing is the spider. Notice that ants are plural, conies are plural, locusts are plural, but then all of a sudden the spider is singular. Did you notice that? And the reason is very interesting. Thus, other ones are plural, and spider is singular, okay? The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. All right? You know what's going to happen to the Jews? Notice it says here, her hands. Her generally refers to things like America the Beautiful, not her male king. The Jews, in king's palaces, the Jews are going to become the ruling nation in the world with David as their king. In other words, the spider, which is so small, easily crushed by the step of a man, survives on manna, in the rocks, in bands, until the tribulation is over, and then that nation, like a spider, takes hold with her hands and is in the king's palaces. Isaiah chapter 60, you read with me that Israel becomes the ruling nation of the world. Watch it. All of this is in the context of Jesus Christ coming back and Israel ruling. Verse 11, therefore thy gates shall be opened continually. They shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish, yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. So in order for nations to survive into the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, they have got to serve Israel, making Israel the ruling nation of the world. And now I gave you one reference, and that's only because of time. There are many others. Jeremiah chapter 30 shows you, interestingly, Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 9 shows you, that when they become the ruling nation, Jesus Christ is God of the world, and David is king over Israel. They shall serve the Lord their God, and David their king. whom I will raise up unto them. Well, David's the little man that fought off Goliath. It's improbable that he should be there as a spider is in king's palaces. But the spider rises, the little bitty arachnid that should have died, that's so feeble, that's so small, arises into the king's palaces because the Jews become the ruling nation. And it's just like there was no chance that this could happen, but then a Jew could take his encouragement from the spider, the locusts, the conies, and the ants, knowing that if God could allow these four things to become examples of how great things can be accomplished by small things, the Jews should recognize that God can do great things with Israel if they will simply let God do it. You see? Ants, a type of Jews having to go out into the wilderness under some sort of protection in order to be able to gather manna to have something to eat out of Bashan, Carmel, and Celepetra. Conies, because they are feeble, yet they make their homes and their houses in the rocks, and it's a sign to the Jews, you got to not only flee to the mountains, but flee to the rocks so you can hide yourself and protect yourself. And then the locust, because they don't need a king over them to tell them what to do, and when the Antichrist raises himself up to be king, they don't have to follow him. They've got to follow what they know is right, which is to go to the wilderness and be protected by the Lord God there. All right, and then the spider, singular, in the king's palaces is a picture of the nation of Israel becoming the ruling nation under God, and it is a picture of their king, David, taking control of the country under the lordship and worldwide rulership of Jesus Christ. Tremendous, tremendous prophecy in these five verses. And we pray that it's been a blessing to you and an encouragement to you to see how God conceals important things for people all through his Bible. It should encourage you to search and dig for the words of God. We pray that you will.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.